Chris in Tennessee, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Everybody, welcome to the Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech. My name is Chris. This show is called Nowhere to Run. I'm happy to be here with you guys. We've got a lot to do today, but let's start off with doing our corrections from the previous show.
This sort of thing has cropped up before, and it has always been due to human error.
Don't they know that I don't know what I'm talking about?
How would you feel about making a change?
We fear change.
Okay, this correction is actually not from the previous show. It's from just shows in the past that I know I've talked about Edgar Cayce, and I've been, I guess, you know, I've been pretty open about the fact that I didn't really know where to put Edgar Cayce in what box to put him, because he just doesn't fit in a lot of the categories that you normally have for people like that. And I tried to make it clear every time I would talk about him or reference something that he said that I didn't necessarily trust him, and I didn't know where he was coming from. I didn't know where he was getting his power, so to speak. And I've, you know, I've asked you guys to help me if you knew anything I did not. And you know, but I would reference him as it was related to I don't know, a number of things. He talked about the pineal gland that I was interested in for fluoride, and, you know, made connections there and talked about different things that he would say about food, and he apparently did a lot of channeling, I guess, about the ways to eat, you know, ways to eat food, what to eat, and that kind of thing. So, and you know, he's an enigma in the sense that here is a guy who, you know, had this ability to whatever, to go into a sleeping state where he could be asked the remedy for any number of maladies or whatever, and that's what he did. And he did it quite prolifically there for a while. I think what was, you know, an interesting thing about it is that here is this humble farm guy that just found out that he could do this and only did it for his local doctor, and then it started growing. I think he did something on 20,000, you know, just remedies for people before some newspaper caught on, and, you know, people started coming from far and wide asking him questions about the hall records and everything else, because they found out that you could just ask this guy anything. And the enigma is that he was a Christian, a very appearingly good Christian, and that's why I think it's hard to put him in a box, because, I mean, even his sleep state writings were about, you know, Jesus. It was centered around Jesus in the way that I understand them biblically, you know. I mean, it made no bones about it as far as saved, you know, by grace, the power of his name, everything just seemed, you know, right on. So to have a guy like that doing what I know is an evil thing, and only people that I know that have done it have some sort, in some way, demonic influence, whether it be remote viewing or channeling or whatever. I don't think that you can just channel high and channel low, too. I don't think that, I mean, you might be able to channel a good spirit. I don't think you can, though. I haven't seen any evidence of it. I am quite sure, though, that any spirit that you channel will say that it's good. It will probably say it's a lot of things, including Ra, Osiris, you know, whatever. But anyway, my point is that I want to just be on record that I think that what may have happened with Cayce is that he was deceived in a lot of ways. And it's not that anything that the stuff that he said could be wrong. I mean, as we in the conspiracy world know, or we should know, that most of what is our big fat lies are also a lot of big fat truth too. I mean, it's all about the net. It's about the fruit of it. You know, what does it produce? And I think that something like Edgar Cayce can ensnare somebody in that, hey, this is safe, this is Christian, everything's cool, and then, you know, you get into it, and before long you are a crystal rolling New Ager. You know, really, it's like a bait in a way. I'm sure that the devil and all the dark hosts of hell know how to heal somebody just as good as your doctor ever knew how, and I'm sure it's a small price to pay, really, for the payoff. So anyway, I just wanted to get that out on record that I don't think that Edgar Casey should be taken too seriously, and I think that it's possible that he was deceived, and that's why it was so difficult to figure out where to put him, categorically speaking. So I don't know. So anyway, let's get into the show, because I got something that I hope will change and impact your lives as much as it has mine, and so I want to introduce that to you. So let's go ahead and get started.
Bravo!
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 Bravo! Bravo!
Bravo!
Okay, I guess this will start with the last show that we did here was sort of a unification of a lot of different crazy conspiracy theories in a way. It was sort of more or less a culmination of everything that we've done here on Nowhere to Run, which was tying in together the mind control, the MKUltra type, trauma-based mind control, and all the Nazi occult connections there, and the occult and how that relates to satanic ritual abuse and the multiple personality disorder, how that can relate to everything, the government black operations, how they fit into that, and you know, the alien abductions, the sleep paralysis, the satanic worship, the blood drinking of the elites, the occult leanings of everybody, you know, in power, you know, and how that relates to the New World Order and the Nephilim and everything we've been finding out about the Nephilim and how they relate to all this stuff, and how Jesus has been time and time again shown to be the true king of this world, and how all that this ties up and wraps into the greatest conspiracy theory ever. And so that's kind of where we were at when we left off last show. And that's why in the letter that I wrote, what I'm trying to do is trying to introduce you to somebody that I... two guys that I've found since then that I am just totally blown away by. And I described it in the letter that I wrote to one of them that it was like a combination lock or something. It was like I couldn't believe that I hadn't heard of them. I mean, it was crazy that I hadn't heard of them. It seemed like I thought I knew everybody in the field, you know, or whatever, the people that believe like we do, especially in internet radio. Anyway, it was like I had blinders on or something. Like, I wasn't supposed to know it till the right time, and that's why I said it was like a combination lock. Once I got the combination right, and got basically the basics right, and got everybody here updated, then the doors flung open, and there was Zeph Daniel and another guy, Russ Dizdar, who I found because Zeph Daniel had him on his show. And here these guys are talking about the stuff that we've been finding out about this show like it's old news, like, oh yes, well of course the Nephilim, you know, or you know, and of course it's amazing, because then obviously that means that they are light years beyond the show. It's amazing to me. I'm so happy to have found it, and in the presence of the Holy Spirit and both of them is undeniable. There's quirks there, of course. I mean, what I look at, like, okay, let me introduce you to Zeph Daniel here. This is a guy who, as best as I can tell, has been doing internet radio for maybe, I don't know, 5-6 years. Probably longer, I don't know. Probably shorter, right? Whatever. He does some stuff on shortwave. I think he used to have a show on RBN. Rob Revere's even done an interview with him, I found out. And just has done everything. He's interviewed Robert Duncan O'Finian, we've interviewed here. I think he's interviewed and a whole lot of other people that I've talked about here. It's amazing. He's like the Alex Jones of this show. You know, if this show was the I can't think of the lesser equivalent. I don't know. Just name some, you know what I'm saying. It's amazing. Zeph Daniel, he has a podcast, which is a great format. It looks like, you know, he'll release podcasts whenever he feels like it. Some of them, they'll just be like these rants about the things that we talk about here, just really, really, you know, Holy Spirit driven. And then some of them will be more news things. It's just really interesting. I will give links to all this stuff at the show notes of this show at nowheretorun.podomatic.com. I'll make sure I link everybody properly to everything that I'm going to be talking about here. And one important note about Zeph Daniel is that he apparently went through something. I don't know. I can infer it sounds like his family was some kind of maybe New World Order and Illuminati type family or whatever, but he was grew up in this satanic ritual abuse sort of well-to-do mind control prep school, say just satanic everything. Every seems like everybody he knew was Satanist and in multiple personality disorder, and he was expected to be, you know, right along with that, supposed to write screenplays for him and all this other stuff. And but it didn't take with him. They didn't get any of the demons attached to him, and so. I guess that's he got delivered from that, and I think it's an important part of his testimony. And you'll get bits and pieces of that pretty early on as you start to listen to him. And like I said, he's been doing this for a while, and so there are thousands and thousands, and it seems like there are a lot of hours of material out there, and you can find him at zephnet.com. That's ZEPHNET, zephnet.com. Or you could just do a Google search for Zeph Daniel. You can go to Zephnet, and there's a pod feed site that he has that you can download a lot of the podcasts at. I'm sure you can find it all at his website. And then in addition to finding Zeph Daniel, I found Russ Dizdar, who is a pastor and a spiritual warrior, a person that deals with the satanic side of things, the satanic ritual abuse, the mind-controlled people, the demons. You know, when we talk about being on the front lines of the spiritual war, this guy, you know, I've thrown that phrase around before, but this guy really is. And it's the epitome of what a Christian should act and talk like. This guy is a walking, talking Christian. And I'm really so excited because, as I said, they talk about everything about on this show like it's just old news, you know. It's really humbling, really, but in a good way. And you know, a good thing about Russ Dizdar is this guy has just hours and hours of audio online too. What is his website? ShatteringTheDarkness.net, I think. But again, I'm going to link all this stuff on my Nowhere to Run Podomatic site, so don't worry about that. You can just go there. But ShatteringTheDarkness.net, and there's other places I found audio for him. He's all over doing interviews and stuff, and it's such a good thing. This is a guy that will increase your faith and your boldness and your understanding of how important it is to know to deal with these spirits and to really to be proactive about it and to get a understanding of how absolutely widespread this problem is, and then that it is intended to be in your church, and that there's a very good possibility that your pastor, youth minister, choir leader, you know, somebody that sits in the front row is swimming with demons. You know, it's something. It is some mind-blowing stuff, and to really see the technical aspects of what we're doing here and how it relates to the New World Order, how it relates to mind control. I really think that in a way this show was for somebody out there that's listening that maybe has been listening to this show that I may have, you know, they may have come with me all the way from, let's say this show gets you from Alex Jones to Zeph Daniel, you know, and then it's kind of an intermediary between knowing your conspiracy theories and then taking it this direction. And I think it just kind of built a bridge for somebody that probably wouldn't have taken Zeph very seriously if it hadn't been for this. I know that a lot of my listeners probably already listen to him, and that's, you know, I mean, if you're into that, you've probably done some searches and found this as well. You know, I'm sure that I'm going to get an email or two saying, you know, hey, you know, I've been listening to him forever. But anyway, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play an interview with him and Russ together, so we can kind of kill two birds with one stone here. And it'll probably last a good 30 or 40 minutes. It'll just go ahead and play out the rest of the show. And I'll probably come in at the end just to make sure everybody knows where to go to find out more information. And Zeph has apparently done like a series with Russ Dizdar, so there's just a lot of audio. So there's more like what we're about to play. And again, I'll put links to that site specifically as well as the others on my nowheretorun.podomatic site. So it's my pleasure to introduce to you guys, if you haven't heard him yet, Zeph Daniel and Russ Dizdar.
We are here with Pastor Russ Dizdar, and welcome back, Russ.
Welcome, Zeph.
We were just talking about splitters and how they get these personalities layered down. And then what we're leading to is how you, as a deliverance minister, would be, how you would deliver a person. Actually, that's the next part of this. I mean, the technology comes from the spirits, as we were talking about. I'm trying to recap a little bit for our new audience. Pastor Russ is founder of ShatterTheDarkness.net, and he is a deliverance minister. People that are demonized or have demonic affliction, demonic oppression, have been MPD, have been programmed, have been satanically ritual, SRA, satanic ritual abuse, which they called a myth before, is no myth. Anything like that, that's Pastor Russ's, that's his workbench. That's the kind of thing he works on. He's there, and he knows, and I know, that it's the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ. That's what does the healing. And so I'm going to cut you loose, Russ, on this. Okay, let's talk about, once more, just a little recap on the splitting. They create these altars, and as you said, there could be someone that could be in the church, sing Amazing Grace, give words of prophecy, words of knowledge, seem totally anointed, and then switch.
Right. Because the technology, what they've created, goes back again to the 50s, and the whole idea of a secular side soldier Manchurian candidate issue, where you have created something on the inside, you trigger them to do something different. Well, it's gone far beyond that. That's wow. 55 years old. It's gone far beyond that, and their ability to create dozens of alter personalities on the inside. And see, I've talked to hundreds of these personalities, and they are separate. Even the secular side of the DSM-4, you know, the psychologist kind of description Bible of mental ills and so forth, they describe it as, you know, there has to be a separate, distinct personality. Well, they even give it another name now, dissociative identity disorder, but the secular names, we don't even use those names. We just see that a person's human soul, human inside will and soul, has been broken, split by the splitter, created purposely so that they then can bond that other personality to them alone. Many of these personalities will tell me, hey, my creator did this. My creator told me this. They look at these outside splitters, programmers, as their creator. Mm. And they're bonded to them at first. And then, of course, they're programmed and demonized. And then along the way, brought out at different times for different training, to be given more training and more training. Now, the splitting in the old ways was pain and pleasure, a lot of torture to cause it. Later on, now they're using, you know, they've used drugs, serotonin. They now can also, you'll hear stories of people talking about the blue light, being on a lab table, even to where all their personalities are put into a laptop computer and all the different distinct abilities that each one has. You know, they might have 50 different personalities. Each one, a priestess is in there, a sex slave is in there, a runner's in there, an assassin's in there, a hunter's in there, someone that can speak ancient languages to communicate things, one that can do conjuring to draw other spirits, another one that can do splitting on other younger people in the group. And they've got all these sophisticated personalities, so they see themselves as higher, more advanced. And truthfully, to the normal man or woman out there, they are. They are like super cutting-edge super soldiers, you know, but that eventually, because they're really human beings, they begin to break down, and the humanness inside of them begin to cry out, and they want some help and freedom from the control, from the pain, the conscience somewhere inside. Maybe a piece of conscience really is left where they don't want to do the evil. They don't want to cut or kill anybody, and they want out. And so, Zeph, by 1994, 2.4, 2.5 million of them have showed up in psych wards everywhere, showing up for help, and and want to get out. And I estimate 5 million at this time have shown up in diagnosed cases.
It's real, folks. Okay, it's real, and it's way more widespread than you might think. I knew one in Los Angeles who she would be triggered, and a limousine would show up out front and then take her away, and then you'd see she would be in the emergency ward later that night, all beat up and scraped up and bruised and battered. And I asked her, what happened? And she said, I don't remember.
Right.
I don't remember. I don't know. Well, who did this to you? I don't remember. And then it's been going on like that. And she was an avid, one of her personalities was an avid churchgoer. So she would go to church and she knew all the praises. And I remember one time we were in church and the pastor asked, and this is kind of one reason you leave, how long have y'all been saved? And everyone has to stand up right in the beginning. Okay, 2 years. A couple people sit down, right? And you know that trick.
Right.
And, okay, so she's up there. Okay, 15 years. 20 years. And she's still standing. And everyone gives her a raucous round of applause. And I thought, if I had a movie of this whole thing, it would be unbelievable. To see the real truth and to see everybody in church applauding.
Right.
That she's been saved for how many years?
Right.
And then I'd say, well, do you really believe in Jesus? And can he deliver you? And then, of course, the answer is mocking, deriding. In other words, the demon comes up then and says, you can't have her. But they're really strong Christians.
Right. Well, see, that's the whole issue. I mean, it's like I try to explain it sometimes by saying, look at a household of a mom and dad and 2-3 kids. One of them is a strong Christian. The rest of them are all pagans or committed to something else. It's kind of like, but you got it all in one person. And it is a technology that allows this, and that's part of this, I want to say maybe part of the satanic side. Sometimes they say, well, they couldn't get to all of me. They couldn't get all of me. And I always fought them. But they've known how to create the Christian side for the sake of infiltration. That's why they do it.
Okay.
They do it to allow these people to be sent in. So that while a person can be in there, listen, they can be up there singing Amazing Grace, sit, put the mic down. We've seen this eyeball to eyeball. Even in our church where they've shown up and wanted to say, hey, we want to be in the nursery. Hey, we want to be singing up front. And when we know that they're an unhealed, cult multiple, there's no way that they're going to get any room like that. Because the other personalities that are cult loyal and demonized, they are what are called co-conscious. They're able to look and see, and they're already looking out. They're already spying out. So when you meet one in the beginning days, Zeph, when we used to meet some of these in the beginning days, some of the really powerful ones would come down and meet us because we were just, getting into this. They wanted to find out who we were, and they were sent, to see who we were. We would get headaches and get nauseated and sick after we'd be with them for an hour, and we would kind of confused till we finally the Lord showed us, the inside personalities that are demonized, that are highly trained in satanic cultic warfare. They're doing warfare against us while we're looking in the face of someone who's saying, oh, I need your help, and they're very pitiful and very sad, and you want to, all of a sudden they're bringing out your Christian sympathy. But inside, there's these lethal snake personalities that are just pumping out stuff against you, reading you, and literally, taking pieces of anything they can get of you to take back to the coven to do more ritual against you.
Yeah, what do you okay, that's interesting, Russ.
It's
what
sophisticated.
Sophisticated, almost like I was envisioning a robot with these different reading capacities, different processors that would do different things. So looking through the robot's eyes to the target host, and they're reading brain waves, they're reading blood flow, they're reading all these biological, they're reading nervousness and consciousness, and they're reading all that and then constantly adjusting to get control of the situation. I mean, it could be like a sci-fi movie, but I could see it almost scientific like that.
Right.
To where it's just very, very, it's very frightening. But a lot of these people, what I've seen is a lot of them have infiltrated. The Satanism certainly, and SRA, Satanic Ritual Abuse, that's certainly in the churches, at least all the ones I've seen.
Right.
And how do you get Satanic Ritual Abuse, since it's also protected by society for some reason, how do you get that out of the church?
Wow. Well, you know, like in the early church, and this is, I think, the best way for us to become, because I always tell people the best defense is a powerful offense for us as believers, that we cannot be asleep at all. Look at the early church when Peter, even after he learned his lesson, Acts chapter 5, there he is. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a very interesting story because it shows, again, how Satan works in the same way. There's Ananias and Sapphira. Two things the scripture says. They conspired to lie. They conspired together, so there's a conspiracy there. The lie is in the center of it because they wanted to keep a certain amount of money and laid out some others. But then there's a Greek word there that says they came in to test. They literally came in to test. The Greek word means to test and approve the durability of something. That when Satan, because later Peter says, how has Satan so filled your heart, got right into him, filled his heart, trying to infiltrate the early infant church to bring destruction to it. So Satan tried to go sub-level, piggybacking, not just piggybacking, but getting into Ananias and Sapphira, and the Holy Spirit gives the Greek word to test, the word test. They wanted to test and approve the durability of the church,
mm-hmm.
To pull the wool over the eyes. The whole idea was to pull the wool over the eyes, to come in, and then all of a sudden, Peter, filled with the Spirit of God, probably a discernment and a word of knowledge maybe,
mm-hmm.
he looks right at them and stops them right then and there, Zeph, right there. Yeah. That's what's needed. The spiritual cutting edge that we have in Christ, that we have with the Spirit of God, the infinite Spirit of God, that's far more advanced than a gazillion demonic spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the Spirit. We're the temple of the Spirit of God. And if he is pumping through our consciousness and mind and heart and animating our lives, when even hidden demonic presence begins to want to seep in here or there, there should all of us an alarm, and we should also be able to look, turn around, and say, there it is. And that's exactly what Peter did right there. And of course, we know the story, what occurs. Ananias and Sapphira both drop dead at the gate, at the entrance to the church, per se.
And they're told that that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And then it happens.
Right.
That's wild. I mean, that's, well, you know.
And you know, we've seen different things like that, you know, where, I did a conference up in the New England States, and afterwards, my friend up there called me and said, Russ, he said, after you left the very next week, he says, really weird, we're having prayer time, and I heard some guy, I thought he was speaking in tongues, you know, in the kind of church we're in.
Yeah.
They allowed you to do that without being checked, and interpretations. They let a lot of people do it at the same time. So I heard this guy doing this.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but I kept getting an interpretation saying blasphemies against God and really cutting Jesus down. And he said, I finally went to my wife. I said, am I crazy? I said, I want you to pray and listen to this guy over here. And his wife listened, and he said it happened again. And I said, well, next week, if this guy shows up, just, you know, casually go, because you got 600 members in there, go back in the back, sit behind the person, somewhere way in the back, and target them in prayer, begin to pray against anything demonic in them. And my friend called me back. He said the moment we began to target, you know, they're rows and rows behind to the left of him, and they're targeting him in prayer. If there's anything demonic, they're using the authority of the Lord to come against it, to reveal it. He said, the moment we began to pray, the guy snapped around and looked right at us. And he knew that we knew, and we knew that he knew, and he knew that we knew. You know how that goes.
We've had that.
It was an instant knowing, and the guy left and never came back.
Wow.
All right.
That's a great story. Hey, Russ.
Yes.
I have a question from the chat room here in the Lamb Cafe.
Oh, that's sure. Great. That's working.
Some people were curious to know if the so-called bipolar disorder being diagnosed, if that is in some way used as a ploy to get people into the doctors or into an area where they can be then worked on through fracturing their personality through drugs and counseling.
Very good. Very good question. You know, very good, because a number of the bipolar people that we've met that come out of the psych wards to us, I end up talking to the personalities inside. I even talked to one guy one time and said, why don't you let your psychiatrist doctor know that you have other personalities. He's all he's doing is terming you as bipolar, that you swing from one massive mood to another. So I would say that many, maybe not many, but a number of bipolars are actually multiples who have not yet been fully diagnosed. On the other side, as you're mentioning, yeah, we had it here happen right in our own city. We have a really ongoing battle with three hospitals and part of their psych wards. One of them, St. Thomas, we have a doctor in that place, San Gimeno. I don't mind naming him because we ran NCIC reports on this guy eventually. We ran, by God's grace, we were able to run circles around him and track him. He kept calling this cult multiple law officer and calling out a name. Now, this person had some, you know, they were going to the doctors anyway for different things, and I noticed over a period of time, you know, they'd go to the doctor and be in the hospital a day or two. And so I find out that they call and trigger another personality, signs them in the psych ward. I literally go to the psych ward. I threw a big thing till I got cops there, and I tell them we're going to bring the lawyers down and fight them. Well, the whole issue is they have this, again, from the rogue side of CIA stuff, a military cult, multiple himself, this doctor gets this person in to readjust them. That means to reprogram, to shut up any of the personalities that are starting to come out and tell the stories and kind of leak out the stuff. Mm-hmm. And we found it in three of the hospitals here. I'm telling you, when you do the checks, you're going to find that in some hospital psych wards, they have military connection, and you're going to find the people that are working with multiples and bipolar. We need to check these people out, who they really are and what they're really doing.
Mm-hmm. So bipolar is an indicator, but not
right. It is possible to have the mood swing because something bad happened, and you do have kind of inside of you where you're kind of like bipolar. You're kind of falling back to that feeling of whatever really bad happened to you, so your mood swings one way, and then when you get that out of your mind for a while, your mood swings back the other way, and it's a pretty controlling thing unless you get some inner healing. But many of the bipolars that we know that were termed, they come to me and say, well, how they diagnosed you? Well, they say I'm a bipolar. Well, as we pray and get into it, and I ask the Holy Spirit to bring forth any personality that wants to talk, then all of a sudden here goes a switch, and I'm talking to, you know, two to three other distinct, totally different personalities than one human being. And I even asked the one guy, why don't you tell the psychiatrist? He says, well, the guy won't even believe anyway, and all they do is give me drugs. Mm-hmm. It's because and they're not going to get to the demonic stuff. I could tell you a hilarious story about the Windsor Hospital right here towards Cleveland when this federal officer's high-powered cult multiple wife, you know, got put into that hospital, and the psychiatrist Mike calls me and says, well, you know what, I've never really dealt with one of these people, and what's your suggestions for us? I said, well, one thing is you got to be careful, because if she switches to the, you know, cult lord personality, you know, this is the woman that tried to stab me and kill me. When she switched and the coven programmed this, Mike was so terrified that he literally hid behind his desk, the psychiatrist, and he had never dealt with this before. This cult multiple just fluffed him off, because this cult multiple knew he had no spiritual powers, he had no abilities, they weren't going to do anything for her, other than putting her in a straitjacket and doping her up to where she couldn't do anything but groan.
Is there a competition amongst the cult multiples for who's got the most power, the most, you know, ability, if you will?
Wow. You know what? You know, Seth, when you mention this now, this takes me back to some of the younger ones when they said that when they're raised up, they were telling me how in the brotherhood they come to little battles where they put competitions between the younger, you know, the kid multiples or whatever, to see who can do, you know, mind, you know, whether it's, you know, telekinesis or, you know, whatever they can do to kind of outdo the others. And so there is a kind of competition to see who is more superior and has more. And they do have a kind of color coding. Some of them have color coding. The one guy we know killed two girls, he by the law officer, cult multiple, was called a silver because he was an assassin also. And so there's, you know, there's a different term. And she had a higher color coding than he did. And they believe in ranks. There's no question about that. And if they pull rank or whatever else, they're very strict and again, behind the scenes, very punishing to one another.
Now, these groups, covens, if you will, they go to very highest levels of our society. It's really a top-down hierarchy that goes even into the invisible realm of the spirit beings that rule, you know, Ephesians 6:12.
Right.
And so you're dealing with, obviously, with the blood of Christ. With that power, you can confront the whole thing. But if you go after minutia, it seems to me, you're never going to really get the big picture. You're just going to see an isolated cult multiple,
right.
and you try to treat her, him, it, you know, whatever.
Right.
And but then they get taken back and reprogrammed.
That's the tough part, because they already have pre-programmed personalities. They're called runners. And they have some that are programmed to call. They have to call in. Like, they might switch it at 11 o'clock every night. They might switch and make a phone call. Other personality makes a phone call to tell, you know, the handlers, you know, where they are, what they're doing, what information, what's going on. But if they need to get the person out of there, because it's happened to us before where we lost a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they outran us. You know, we're driving the car, talking to this personality. We can tell something else is going on. A switch occurs. They look at me. The door flies open. They fling right out onto the pavement and run. And we lost them. And what they did is, you know, later on we dealt more with them and gone through more deliverance and inner healing.
Mm-hmm.
This personality we finally, you know, got to and talked to. All their job was and all they knew, and when their program was energized by demonic presence, kicked in. I mean, it's like they got double the strength, and they go to either a phone booth somewhere, they make the phone call, and they wait to get picked up. And, yeah, then they get reprogrammed. And
when you say double the strength.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How do you get this, the super strength if it's the same body?
Well, you're right. And see, this is where it all comes into that really – because, listen, even today after all these years when I have a multiple in front of me and they switch to a totally different personality, and like a woman, and all of a sudden it's a male voice, instead of having blue eyes, now they got green eyes, their face is a little bit shaped different, one may wear glasses, the other doesn't, one may smoke, the other doesn't, one may be very smart and intelligent, and the other isn't, so each personality is distinct, and when each one, separate one comes up, they are regardless of the body, I would ask for this one personality to come up with this one individual. It was a long-time person we dealt with. I would say, well, let me talk to Crew, male personality and a girl. Well, when Crew would come up, Crew's first thing he would do would take the earrings off and push the purse away, because, of course, he's in a female body, and he understood that. And just weird as could be to him.
Are there... Okay, Crew. Now, Crew is one person or a program or?
Yeah, he was a bodyguard, created and trained, highly trained in weapons, have numerous pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, at one point they wanted to sell me a Tech 9 with a Hellfire trigger. And they were very versed in weapons, had pictures of them at shooting ranges and places, military fatigues, black fatigues. And their primary job was the protection of a very, very high-up person that we've tracked. They call him the Wizard. Hundreds of multiples know this man out of Pennsylvania named the Wizard. And we were taken to his house area. We were given information. We were given a picture of the double basement where major rituals are occurring, and right along Lake Erie. And he has been prayed for a long time and constantly still targeted. He is an extremely wealthy man, but we have many that when we say that name, I'll say, hey, do you know who the Wizard is? People inside personalities shake and tremble in fear because of this guy.
Does he have supernatural powers then?
Oh, absolutely.
So in other words, people, you don't just go run up to these people and smack them, you know, just because, you know, they're demonic. I think I'll go get them.
Yeah.
Right. Isn't there something you have to be a little bit, you know, wise as serpent, gentle as dove with this thing? Because if you just go run after them, and say, look, I know they're a multiple and they're programming other people, but it's such a strange, oh, what can I say? Not hierarchy, but almost like a hive, I guess.
Well, you're right. You're right. And you know what? Because they have the monic presence, for example, Zeph, they have not only the inside personalities, you know, that are given demons for their own little thing, they have a system demon that rules over all of the demons within. So there's always a ruling demon over the 50, 60, 80, 90 demons that may be inside the system of personalities. Then there is outside coven demons. Then there is the demonic connection between, you know, like the priest of a coven with some of their people. So you have outside territorial spirits. You have the communicating kind that go back and forth, and then you get an astral projection where the demons empower them to go out and meet in the air. Oh, they describe things called psychic assassination. They're way beyond our thinking on what they're doing. This is one thing, if you have time, they call it psychic assassination, where they will triangulate. They'll have three different cult multiples, highly powered, demonized cult multiples, where they will leave their bodies, of course, empowered demonically, to meet in what they call the ether. The Chinese called it the universal, you know, to meet out there. In my mind, it's the second heavenlies, per se, where the warfare goes on. Well, they meet out there. Now, here's what they say happens. When they meet out there together, they have more power. What they do next is go to what they call an unwitting, another cult multiple who has a personality that may be on the inside of a government place somewhere else. Here's what they claim, whether we believe this or not. They claim then they are able to then project into that person, moving the host personality out of the way, get inside of them, commit a crime, do a murder or assassinate, then pull out of them and go back to their own bodies, and that person's left with the crime issue.
Is that what happened with the D.C. sniper case?
Well, that, I'm not sure about that one. I think that's what we need to look into, even with the, because there's cult multiple technology that's been sold off and used even among the Muslims. They've worked together. We had one that was military from Fort Bragg that had two different Muslims from two different Muslim countries learning the technology, and this is 15 years ago.
Okay, so do they consciously worship Satan, or how does that?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, when they explain, and not just one, but when I have multiple numbers of these folks, because you know, my whole thing is I do want to get the information to expose, because the scripture tells us to expose. And you got to have something to expose. So we've confiscated 7 tables of materials and robes and swords and bones and things from many of them over time. But we would ask them, you know, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? Now, we would have them explain. There's some of them wanted to show us the whole ritual and do it. We wouldn't let them do it because, of course, that's going to involve invoking demons and that kind of stuff. So at the most, we'd have them draw things for us, tell us. Zeph, they have... In their little meetings, they'll have satanic prophecies. They brought me one on paper that will talk to the, they call them the unholy ones, and we're the holy ones. And it's literally like Satan, like God would speak to us, you know, hi, my, you know, my people, I love you, and I'll soon be coming, and be strong, things like that. They've got these kind of words going on in their little grotto meetings. They've got levitation. This one told me about how the high priest literally, when power demons came at the end of a sacrificial ritual of a baby, and how they did the baby over a period of time. They've got to have the longer the torture, the longer the pain, the bigger the power demon, the more they're going to get out of it. So it is a decimation of humanity that is occurring in the midst of these rituals to get the high powers. They're not going to mess with little crystal stones like the New Agers. They're laughing at the New Agers. They're laughing at, you know, Wiccans and stuff and little teeny spells. These are the people that, these are the people who do Enochian. They do the ancient death curses and rituals and weld tremendous
ouch.
Powers.
Yeah, ouch. I think there's been a few throwing stuff at me, because I'll tell you, I've been kind of busy in that spiritual warfare realm, but...
Yep.
You know, the more visible you are, they do that. But I found really the forward eyes and ears of these people tend to be unwitting dupes on the internet that poses as, again, once again, over and over, as Christian.
Yep.
And those are the people that usually throw the curses, but they're being controlled by these other people.
Yeah.
And they believe they're serving the Lord. And of course, they have it all backwards. They say the people are, the people with the unclean spirits are the most holy, and they have it backwards, because those unclean spirits do give a host power, and they could appear to be, oh, that person's very holy. Look at that. They're speaking in tongues. There's interpretation. There's prophecy. There's word of knowledge. It's word of wisdom. It's all flowing. There's healing.
Right.
How dare you say that's not a man of God or a woman of God?
Well, you know what, too? In every one of the cult multiples, the chosen ones, every one of them can speak in tongues, but it's not by the Holy Spirit. There's a counterfeit there.
Mm.
There's a real speaking in languages by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, in them, the thing about it is, this is what they've learned to do with it, though. They'll go up and they want to lay hands on you and speak out in tongues in that form.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they do it is to transmit spirit or curse or whatever else on people or on a crowd. They'll be in the church, and numerous of them still say, yeah, we can raise our hands and say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We mean praise Satan, praise Satan, praise Satan, and you guys don't realize it.
And then they throw, they slay you in the spirit, and you
sure.
Down you go, and they're throwing things on you.
Well, and see, that's where you got to test everything, like the book of 1 John. It's doctrinal test, it's behavioral test, it's the agape love test, it's the confessionary test. And on the surface of things, with the infiltrating cult multiples that have been planted in churches, some of them know who they are. I mean, they're there knowing who they are. They know their personalities. They know why they've been sent in.
Yeah.
Now, the upfront personality has been created. Now, this is the tough part, too. They've been put up with this thing called being amnesic.
Mm-hmm.
The whole goal is for them to have a piece of personality to put up there to look like the innocent, so that behind the scenes they can run their whole program, and not even the head or front person at some point in their life. Anyway, they don't even know that they're called intact multiples. They don't even know they are. They're not even sure. They don't even know yet that they're missing time. It's sometimes when they go to bed and they get up the next morning and they're still sleepy and they got different clothes on or they got a bruise. They still not yet aware that they were gone somewhere for 4 hours.
Okay, and then that brings into mind, now, all these people that have the missing time, you know, lots of them were taken to military bases or different places to be programmed. Missing time does not necessarily mean you were taken by aliens. It could, but not necessarily.
Right.
So that you come back changed, you use. I've met people like that, in fact, people that present themselves, again, as Christians on the internet, purveying the truth and all that. And I've noticed one thing with them. They tend to get Jesus and shun him off to the side, and then maybe they'll say it's, you know, me and Yahweh or whatever, and Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
There's right.
Something a little different, or they bring the serpent seed theory in.
Yeah.
Something.
Well, once they get off doctrinally, I mean, the doctrine is the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit.
Right, they throw Paul out of the Bible, and they don't realize that that's another program and an indication that there's that kind of programming presence.
Right.
And a lot of these people are used as to do smear campaigns on people or disinfo campaigns, and they're just like I said, they may not be conscious all the time of everything, but they're being used because the enemy really wants to suppress all this information. That's what I think. And I think
sure, it's a secret kingdom. There is power behind it, and without anybody contesting them, they're going to continue to go along. Jesus told the parable that the sower goes out to sow the seed. He, sows the word of God. Some of the wheat begin to grow up. That's the kingdom of God. And then during the night, the evil one comes along. He sows. He counterfeits the sowing, counterfeits the word, and he creates tares to grow up among them. So this is really a prophetic picture where Satan has not just non-Christians at your church. I mean, in any church, you'll have strong Christians, weak Christians, backslidden Christians, visitors, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have a mixture in a meeting, per se.
Yeah.
Whereas in a satanic grotto meeting or one of their coven meetings, you have only 10, 13 or, so many. They're sold out, dedicated. They know why they're there. You know, they're not there to join the coven or to hear any message. They're already there participants.
Okay, their wills are engaged.
Oh, they're engaged.
They have made the decision.
Oh, you should hear them. They you know, they're chanting, they're roaring, they lose themselves, they go into frenzies, and they'll eat. Listen, Zeph, they eat people.
Yeah, I know that. Ew, Trish is saying in the background. You have any other questions from the if you need to fellowship with any like-minded people or people listening to this, you can go to lambcafe.com. And a shout out there, and we do have the capability of questions from there. I have kept the calls down. I'll just, if you want to call in, now would be a time, 877-937-ZEPHNET, 877-ZEPHNET, and that's I'll tell you what it is right now. See, sometimes I lose that number. Okay, 937-4638, that's 877-ZEPHNET, if you want to ask Russ a question or ask a question about yourself. A lot of you have questions about, I know when Russ is on, it's scary, okay? But a lot of you have questions about, you're wondering if you're all right. And then that's a legitimate question, isn't it, Russ, if a person examining themselves.
Sure.
Because there's no profit in keeping it a secret. If someone did something to you, it's not your fault.
Right.
First of all.
Right. Their souls have been stolen. They've been stolen and ripped apart. And, you know, that's why we pray so hard to find them anywhere. And the little kids, Zeph, if there's 5 million that have been diagnosed now and another 5 million that are intact, and they're still creating more out of the children, see, we've got to get to the children. We've got to get to the little, what they call kindergartners, in the covens, the kiddie covens and stuff, where they're still doing it from birth on right now.
Yeah, they do traumatize the children, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old in order to bust up the spirit so they can inhabit, indwell, or download. We talked about that last time.
Right.
There's a downloading aspect to this where ancient or ancestral spirits live generation after generation by, you know, they do have reincarnation. It's done, it's crafted through witchcraft.
Right.
As they download themselves generation after generation, then they test them, they say, you know, where were you on 1848? And they answer all those questions correctly. And then they go, oh, welcome, sir, madam, to like a 4-year-old.
Right.
Welcome, your highness.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not funny. I only laugh because it's sad. You know, I guess the other response would be to cry or to just get depressed about it. But unfortunately, those are the kinds of people in the bloodline elites. That's the kind of thing they do, and those are the rulers of darkness, the rulers of the principalities of evil. And they're very powerful, and you say, well, how can you be a lamb of God then and survive? And Russ had told us yesterday that, when he was dealing with a certain demon in a person, that demon had to bow its knees to Jesus Christ. Or how could you describe that?
Sure. This was a really high priestess of a coven, and she didn't want to give in, and she didn't want to give up. And we dealt with a spirit named Orion, and we commanded Orion. Eventually, we commanded in the name of Jesus for Orion to show himself to her, how he really looked, and she was a little bit horrified then. But we said, we command you to acknowledge who really is the Lord of heaven and earth.
Yes.
And notice, no demon ever says Muhammad or Buddha. Every demon knows, the whole kingdom of darkness knows, Jesus Christ is Lord, and this demon had to bow, cower down, and acknowledge with his teeth grit, just acknowledge Jesus is Lord, you know. And when that happened, this cult multiple priestess was mad at the demon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, mad and sick. It just even said, you're just weak. I mean, just, it was unbelievable conversation they had. And this woman did not want to give in. And even though we kicked that, you know, that demon out of there, just like the Bible says, this woman went back, reconjured Orion and more, and she's out there still in the Cleveland area. She's dangerous. She's the kind of that will just rip a child apart and deceive people and pull them in and set people up bad.
The demons are on the loose. She's out there, folks. She's out there on the streets of Cleveland. And they appear to be normal society people until they take that mask off. And then if you're not prepared or equipped, you could become a victim.
Okay, we're coming up on the end of the show here, so I just wanted to stop the clip and let you guys know. That was Zeph Daniel and Russ Dizdar. Zeph was the host, Russ was the guest. But both of these guys have a ton of audio online, and I'll link you to all the places that I know of that there's audio, and you can find out more for yourself, and I highly recommend you guys downloading and checking out as much of this stuff as you can. I really believe this is the cutting edge. This is something that will strengthen all of our faiths, and these are the kinds of faith that we need at this time in the stage of the world here. So you can go to my site, nowheretorun.podomatic.com, and I'll link you to as much stuff for these two guys as I can. And also I want to thank Luke from New World Exposure, who used to be on Revere Radio, in fact, that led me to Zeph. And it was through him that the weird thing, he didn't even hear the last show I did that tied all that stuff together. It was actually right before I uploaded that show. He had contacted me about a post he saw on the internet that I did, and, you know, said, hey, you know, you really need to check out this and this and this. And Luke, who also does a podcast, who I'll link you to, does the same thing too. I mean, he's doing what this show's doing. So I'm just thrilled to have this wealth of new information to tap into, and I'd love for you guys to look into it too, because what we're trying to figure out here is very needs all of our minds. I just got an email from Frank at FaithSpeak just a second ago, and I got to tell you, he had worked on all the stuff that we had talked about last show. This guy is a genius. He is a researching genius, and I'll probably go into that next show about stuff that he has found out with all the stuff that we talked about. Okay, guys, that's it for me. I solicit your prayers. If you could pray for me to keep me away from giving you guys disinformation and for any other reason that you might think of, but certainly for that. And you can email me your hate mail and all that good stuff at chris@conspiracyclose.com. That's chris@conspiracyclose.com. Thanks to Revere Radio. Thanks to Podomatic. I'm out of here. Remember, we are in the last days. We should start acting like it. Power to the people. All glory to God.